I hope you found your place, Titus chapter number 2. Keep your Bibles open. We'll be looking at another portion of Scripture in just a moment. The book of Jude. We'll be going there shortly and probably staying there. Lord willing, I struggled. I'm not going to lie to you. I struggled with this service and the direction of it. And had several people praying. And I sure thank you for the prayers. I need your prayer. And many of you have told me you need prayer, and I have been praying for you. Pray for each and every one of you daily. Call your name out, and I hope you pray for me. To use the president's, one of his favorite words, I hope that's a reciprocal thing. I hope I can do it for you and you can do it for me. We'll all be better for it. So make sure you're praying. But once this started coming into focus, as it does a lot of times, some of you preachers will understand this, it wasn't drips and drabs. It was like drinking from a fire hose. It just, all of a sudden, more than I could catch. And so hopefully, this won't come out like buckshot. Hopefully it'll have some sort of a target to it, and we'll be able to glean something from it. But I know what we're dealing with is very, very applicable to each and every one of us. It's needed. I wouldn't say it's a 4th of July message because it's not. It actually can be, but it also can be a July 3rd message, a July 5th message, April the 10th. You pick the date, any day, every day, all days, this message is needed. And I'll be preaching this morning on this subject. Well, before I give the title, let me ask you this question, just to get everybody involved. How many of you believe we are living in an ungodly world? I'm telling you, the world we're living in has just absolutely went stark crazy. And this progressive movement that is on the scene and has been behind the scene for many, many decades, but now is front and center, not hiding, not camouflaged, but front and center, proud. You hear that word more and more, progressive. I want to say this morning, there is nothing progressive about the movement that we're seeing in this world. We're not making progress here on planet Earth. We're not moving forward here in America. Sadly, I wish this morning I could have came and as I often do on a day like today with the beautiful red, white, and blue draped, all the beautiful flags that thank God those that spent time to decorate and make the house of God the place beautiful, reminding us of this great country. I wish I could come and give a history lesson and go back to our founding and come right here to today and even project into the future about how great and grand America is. And she was founded great by great men and by good, godly foundations. Thank God for America. I'm not going to berate America today, but we got to admit, it ain't just the world that's lost its mind and is definitely not progressing, but America. We are regressing. We are going backwards. We are not getting better. But absolutely the opposite. We are trending and fastly headed. If God don't do something, I'm being absolutely honest. If God does not intervene, we are headed for our demise as a nation. That brings me no pleasure. That brings me zero pleasure to have to stand and say. But I would be lying to you if I did not say if we continue on our current trajectory, we are headed for the direct, absolute collision with the judgment of God. God help us. God help our children. God help your grandchildren. We have heard the Word of God preached our whole life. Those of you who have been saved, been raised right, been raised in the house of God, anywhere around anything close or similar to old-time religion and Bible preaching, we have heard our entire life preached about the days that we have lived to see and live in. And I wish I had a rosy report to tell you things are going to be better just here shortly. But sadly, I do not see that taking place. I even made the statement when all this pandemic and all this virus and all that was going on, I said, I'm not going. I heard somebody else say this. Matter of fact, it was Brother Chris Hazlett. You all know him well, a good friend. Brother Chris Hazlett said, I'm not going to accept a new normal. We're going to get back to the old normal. He said that. He meant that. I repeated that and meant it when I said it. Only to have to just weeks later stand up publicly and admit to you what the Lord has dealt with me about privately. And I do not see us getting back to normal. I doubt we ever get back to where we were just a few months ago. There is a cascading effect that is absolutely, it's triggering one thing after another after another. And it should, listen to me, it should alarm you. This is not small changes. We are seeing seismic, major moves right before our very eyes. And if we don't wake up to the fact and see and understand and redeem the time, for the days are evil, We are in for a more rude awakening than we are already in. We are already behind schedule to see what's going on before our very eyes. We better come to reality with the fact we are living in a absolutely ungodly world. Now, I know that's bleak and dark and dim and but it's the truth. It is the truth. And I want you to listen to me and listen to what God says. This is the subject I'll be preaching on this morning, if I can get it preached. Living godly in an ungodly world. Living godly in an ungodly world. 2020 did not take God by surprise. There is nothing going on today, as amazed as we are, as new as all this is to us, as much as we do not like all that's going on, God knew. And yet God put in His eternal, infallible, immutable Word these words. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly." Not in 1950, not in 1970, not in the early 90s when I was saved. But the Bible says that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. When? In this present world. Right now, God said, I know how ungodly it is. I know how awful it's going to be. Yet, I'm still going to give my proclamation. I'm still going to speak and move on holy men of old to put down in my eternal word that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is a charge and a challenge that God has not backed up, or changed His mind about, and never going to apologize for it. No, that was a command He gave to us, a charge He gave to us who are believers. That we, listen, we cannot count on the world to live godly in this ungodly world. That we can't count on a progressive agenda to bring progress into 2020 for our families and for our churches and for our county and for our country and for this world. This world system is messed up. It's broken. It's not getting better. It's not making things better. God give us an assignment as Christian people, as the church of the living God, to live godly in an ungodly world. And if we don't do it, nobody else will. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That's God's word. You want to know what God thinks about the issues in 2020? You know what? You want to know what's coming next? I've been asked that over and over. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What's around the corner? What's next? What's coming? I'll tell you what's coming. Exactly what God said's coming. What's going to happen? Exactly what God said's going to happen is going to happen. It will not veer from the course. It will not change trajectory. It's going to happen like God said it's going to happen. And if you want to know, God give you a book called the Word of God, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. God gave you and me everything He needed and wanted us to know. And if you don't know, it's not God's fault. You can't even point a finger at your preacher this morning and say it's my fault. If you got a Bible in 2020, you got the answers. You got the forecast. You got God's mind on paper. You have the future in your lap. Amen. Now, turn to the book of Jude. Jude, just one chapter. Preached from here recently. I believe I was outside. It's been that recent. I mentioned Brother Chris Hazlett while you're turning. Y'all pray for Brother Chris Hazlett. Precious church, he made that statement only for a week or two ago for them to have a major outbreak. Two of his precious, precious people are on a ventilator this morning, close nigh to death in his church, and several in his church have it. It's also close around here, Cowpens, Chesney. So pray, pray, pray. Jude, verse 14. The Bible says in Jude 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. You know what's going to happen? The Lord's going to come with 10,000 of His saints. That's talking about the second advent of Christ. That's talking about after the rapture of the church. We are not there yet. That has not taken place yet. How you know? Because I know I'm saved. I know that I've been born again. I've been blood washed. So therefore, the Lord hadn't come yet. So He can't come back in the second advent. He can't come back with 10,000s until He comes Himself, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise. That's when we're getting out of here. That will happen. I believe that's the next thing on God's calendar. Yeah, but here, the Bible says Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Why? To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. Listen, I said I'm preaching on how to live godly in an ungodly world. Listen how many times you hear the word ungodly. And to convince all that are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's a lot of ungodly in one verse. Ungodly, 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 ungodly. Could I say this morning, you don't have to go far off your porch to find ungodly in 2020. Matter of fact, we don't even have to get to your porch to find ungodly in this present world we're living in. Right in the walls of our houses is ungodliness. Right in the walls of this church building and out in the parking lot, there's ungodliness. Amen. And the Word of God is speaking, verse 16, these are murmurers. I could stop and preach right there and drop the plow and not pick up till next Sunday. My. At all the murmuring. People been murmuring, I started to say since Moses' day, but you'd have to go back further. People been complaining, griping, aggravated, not seeing eye to eye, thinking everything had to be their way. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's absolute proof they were Baptists back then. Talking about ungodliness goes right in. What's the first thing he lists in verse 16? Hey, you want to know if you're doing ungodliness? You want to know if you're participating in ungodliness? You want to know if you're practicing ungodliness? You want to know if this message is, hey, relevant to you? The first place God went to after mentioning all that ungodliness, murmuring. You say, not fornication, not adultery, not drunkenness, not reveling, not going out and killing and stealing and... No. Murmuring. Oh, you thought you was all that. High and mighty, you stinking Pharisee. Make God sick. Yeah. Churches are full of it. Full of it. Murmurings. Just imagine. Hey, don't you delete me yet. Don't you mute me yet. Hey, out there in the parking lot, cut your radio up. Don't mute me. Don't mute me this morning. Listen. If we could just deal with the murmurings at Morningstar Baptist Church and just take care of that one simple first base, seems to be elementary. Amen. Issue. Murmuring. Backbiting, complaining, talking when you should be silent. Giving your opinion when it really don't need to be had. Talking when you don't know all the story. Shading things and giving your two cents when you have no idea what's really going on. It'd be better just keep your mouth shut. There's no telling all the damage, all the heartache, all the hurt that the devil is using to separate and to slide apart and to put wedges in between, drive people from churches, separate families, divide people just by simply murmuring.
Yeah. Amen.
Pulling down people, destroying people. For what? What have you gained? What good come out of that conversation? What was so important that you had to talk about it? So who are you talking to? I'm talking to you.
Amen.
You say, who? Yeah, you.
Who?
I'm talking to me.
Right.
My mouth's got me in more trouble in my life than about any member of my body. And my members of my body's got me in a lot of trouble. But my mouth, oh, how we overlook it. Oh, how we condition and rank that to be okay. They are worse than we. All I do is a little talking. God went first base, number one. Ungodliness, murmuring. You have no idea, and only heaven will reveal the damage. Only heaven will reveal the destruction. Only heaven will reveal what could have been done had you kept your stinking mouth shut.
Amen. Yeah.
When you had to open it.
Amen.
Only heaven will reveal. The judgment seat of Christ will reveal what I could have had. The blessings and the crowns and how much further I could have went with God and for Christ. How much more effective I could have been for the Lord and winning souls and taking people to heaven. But I had to open my mouth. And things that didn't matter. You're going to give an account, as am I, for every idle word. You better think about that. Can you imagine how many words? I did not plan on staying here this long, but we must have a problem.
Yep.
No, I take that back. We do have a problem with murmuring. So how you know? Because if you think for 1 minute this morning, I didn't come here to preach on this, but if you think for 1 minute this morning that you talk to your friend, your bestie, and that's as far as it goes,
right.
You ain't some dumb, you plumb dumb. If you ain't lived long enough and matured enough to know, what you say is going to travel 99.999% of the time further than you thought it would. They say if you, at the end of your life, can count your friends on one hand, you're one blessed individual. Let me tell you what else. I tell you what's probably more scarce to find than that at the end of life. If you could find a friend that could hold a secret, that'd be even fewer. You'd be amazed at what people tell and talk about that you talk to them in absolute, you thought in absolute immunity, absolute one-on-one. It was priority. It was just you and bearing your heart to somebody you never dreamed. And it gets out. You know why? Because people murmur. They may not get up and shout it from the mountaintop, but they will whisper. They'll murmur. Just wait. They might not do it today, but treat them wrong tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Okay. I can tell that's about all we can take of that. Just imagine what your family could be. Mamas and daddies, God help. Husbands and wives, Lord help me, Jesus. If we didn't murmur and our children hear it and see what hypocrites we are. Leave church. You know what, one of the worst things you could ever do? I don't care how bad you hate my guts or any preacher.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what, one of the most damnable things you can do. Listen to me. If you hate me, if you don't like nothing I'm saying, you take this home with you, friend. Leave church and talk your preacher down.
Yeah.
Murmur about him. Say what you don't agree with.
Yeah.
Say how you would have done it better. Murmur. Oh, I wouldn't have done that. Well, he's went too far. Well, he ain't went far enough. Well, could you believe he said that? Who was he? Who does he think he is? Well, God bless you. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who I am. I'm the preacher at Morningstar Baptist Church. I'm the pastor of Morningstar Baptist Church. I'm not perfect, far from it. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You are helping your children to hell. And you're helping them to heartache and hurt when you murmur about God's man.
Amen.
Right or wrong? Right or wrong? What's it helping them to see them watch you be a hypocrite? And go and sit under his preaching and look like you Sunday's best. Just before you get in the car door to start tearing him down. And tearing your Sunday school teacher down. Tearing the song leader down. Tearing the assistant pastor down. Tearing other Christians down by murmuring. Oh, it is ungodly. It's wicked, wicked, wicked.
Amen.
Murmuring is wicked. It's ungodly. And God said, if you want to live godly, and I highly suggest, he did more than highly suggest, he said, he commanded us. He gave us a strong command that we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this ungodly world.
Amen.
Number one, murmuring. That ain't number one on my sermon, on my message, on my outline. That's the number one thing in verse 16. God said, these ungodly, after all those ungodlies in 15, 16, he said, these are murmurers. Can I ask you something? I was told this and taught this. Just to let you know, I have had some college education. I was taught, one of the best things I was taught was not how to put a sermon together, the hermeneutical, all the different ways you can study the Bible, the way you can put... Let me tell you one of the best... Dr. Larry Brown said this. He said, you can preach the best sermon, you can run it, I mean, give it everything. But if you don't apply that to those people, it's hearsay, it'll never stick, and it will not be personal to anybody. So let me ask you, without, before I move on, are you... Yes, you. A murmurer.
Amen.
And before you say no, are you a liar? It may have never left your lips. It could have went right to your keyboard.
Yeah.
Could have went right to your phone text.
Yeah.
Are you a murmurer? I guarantee you there's more evidence to put you in guilt in the court of law. To most, if not all of us, that we're guilty of murmuring.
Yeah.
Happy 4th of July. I was talking to our dear brother and sister this morning, out there sitting in the dually nice truck that I coveted over. Yes, y'all. Said to me and my wife had a disagreement. I said, do tell. Surely not. That ain't never happened. He said, I was telling her, I believe a lot of the problems we have and in our society today, they had no idea what I was preaching on. None. Said, I told her, I think a lot of what we're dealing with and the problems we're having is preachers have quit preaching against sin and hell and fire and brimstone, strong preaching.
Yeah.
Talking about society. I said, let me give you a verse for that, brother. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. How in the world do we think this world's ever going to become less ungodly when we won't deal with our own ungodliness at the house of God? Say amen, or oh me, or both.
Amen.
These are murmurers. Well, it don't get much better from there. Because if I didn't catch you on that, and God didn't catch us on that, and He did, I guarantee you He did. And if you ain't humble enough to get it, God help you. God help you. Because He's tearing me up while I'm preaching. Oh yeah. Complainers! My goodness, ain't this a Sunday morning message at the First Baptist? Whew. Well, they ain't going to have me nowhere else. Might not have me back here. I'll tell you this. God said, ungodly, 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 ungodly. Look at it in verse 15. Murmurers! And you thought that had been enough on that subject. But it's twin sister. Complainers. Surely under heaven, Brother Jackie, being the assistant pastor of this church, a preacher of the gospel, a godly good man, a student of that Bible, a man I highly respect, love, appreciate, a good father, good grandfather, good husband. I reckon you ain't never complained. Hold on just a minute. Let me go talk to Sister Anita. Sister Anita. Before God in heaven, that man ever, you ever heard him complain today? You don't have to answer that. Now, I throw that today in there just to make it relevant. He probably ain't made it this far today without uttering some sort of complaint. And I ain't putting him on the spot. He may have made it this far, maybe. I haven't. I've complained today. You would think, you listen to me, I ain't making small, I ain't making light of your troubles or mine, but you would think after the God of heaven left heaven, come to this world, the darling Son of God left heaven, separated from the Father, came, suffered, ridiculed, mocked, made fun of and beaten and buffeted and nailed to an old rugged cross, bled and died for us so that sinners, wicked sinners like we, could go to His heaven and not go to hell. And He was led like a sheep. Not, he didn't open His mouth. You don't find Him complaining. Right. Jesus didn't complain. Amen. No. He came to do His Father's business without complaining. Amen. If anybody had a reason, if anybody had a right to complain, say, now this just ain't right. This just don't stack up. This just don't add up. It was Him. Yeah. But He opened not His mouth. You know why? Because He wasn't a murmurer. He wasn't a complainer. Yeah. Reckon what could happen around Morningstar Baptist Church if we'd just deal with those little bits of ungodliness. Reckon we could be a little more godly in this present world. Yeah. I told you it'd come like a fire hose at me, and you've got, and we've got, absolutely everything I didn't get before I come to church. I ain't even got to the... I'm still reading Scripture. We on the second word of the second verse in the book of Jude. I got a whole long message that'll probably get filed away with the rest of them I never get to preach. Amen. But I'm sure preaching this morning to us, to me, and to you. I dare say there ain't a person in this room, in that parking lot, or who will listen by radio, CD, or any other airway, that already should not be under heavy Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
Because we are absolutely ungodly when it comes to murmuring and complaining. I love you. I love you. That's just the Bible. That is... Am I out of bounds? Somebody correct me. I'll give you the floor. Have I preached anything in that book this morning? No, no, sir. No, ma'am, I hadn't. I'm preaching to us, and it is hard. This is hard preaching. is harder living. And the devil lied to me all last night. I didn't sleep hardly none because I told my wife last night, and I rarely do this, I said, you better pray for me. I have no direction for in the morning. Zero. I have no idea. And I studied all day yesterday. I studied and prayed and studied all day yesterday. And it was late last night. And I told her, I said, you better pray for your husband and your preacher, because I have no direction. No direction. And early this morning, the Lord started opening the door and shining a little bit of light. And before I knew it, I was getting it way faster than I could put it down. And while I'm preaching, I'm getting it way faster than I can see it. Amen. There's way more here for us to deal with. But it should concern us that we have just forfeited and say, well, that's just too hard. Amen. Well, that's just outdated. I mean, after all, who even tries living godly in this ungodly world? God ain't asked too much of us. If I don't move past what I've already said, and if I give the invitation now and we are done, I promise you, I've already preached myself under so much conviction, and I've already looked in the mirror of God's Word, and the Holy Ghost has amplified to me how ungodly I have lived in these two areas of murmuring. My mouth and complaining with my lips.
Amen.
How much ammunition do we just forfeit and give the devil by those two ungodly deeds? We cannot live godly if we don't deal with the first two things God put in that verse. After all those ungodlies. And He commanded us, live soberly, righteously, and godly. Not when Jesus comes. Not way back before the internet, before TV, before the radio. Not when Jesus was walking. In this present world, we are charged. He expects that of us. Let me give you a verse out of the book of Romans that hugs this together and proves this point, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12:1, I beseech you, I beg of you, I plead with you, I get down on my knees and plead with you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, holy and acceptable. And he goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove, I may get this a little bit wrong, but that you may, it says in essence, that you may prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God, your reasonable service. This ain't like college credit. When you in high school, this ain't like when we retire. This ain't something we worked toward. This is primary first two little things God put out there. If we want to deal with ungodliness,
amen.
You don't have to look into somebody's life deep. You don't have to go. And some people do Facebook stalking. If you stalk me, this happened to me recently, and I'm not gonna get into it. Other than to say, oh, me. If all somebody went through several weeks, months ago, not on something I posted or something I wrote on Facebook. I didn't even know this was possible. Somebody else had wrote and posted something on Facebook. I don't like things. I don't share things. I don't comment on things that have cuss words in it. I don't like, share, respond, even look at, not even a second look, things that where there's vulgarity, lewdness, and wickedness. But somebody just made a simple comment, had something to do probably with mask wearing or coming into church or meeting or something to do with this coronavirus. I didn't say amen. I hope this message gets to their little ears. Lord help it, Jesus. I didn't say hallelujah. I didn't say, that's right, God bless you. I just simply hit that little like button. That's all. That's all I did. Way back, I hit a like button. I had to go researching myself when I heard about this to find out what under heaven is these people talking about. And it was somebody went through my business enough and thought enough about me to go looking that deeply classified and that camouflaged. It had to take time to do that. And all they had to do was call me, and I could have said, I sinned a while ago. You didn't have to go back months to find something that wasn't sin. Amen. You stinking hypocrite. I probably sinned more out of anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I probably sinned out of anger at this nut job of a person who would go back and stalk me and try and go out and talking to preachers and people and churches about me over something like that. Oh, it made me mad, and it don't look at me goofy like it wouldn't bother you. It did. But my point is, they didn't have to go through all the trouble. They could have simply come to my house and looked at me for about 15 minutes and seen I had sinned, I had said something wrong, I had done something wrong. It ain't hard. I'm saying you don't have to go deep in the jungle of somebody's life. We all flawed. We all messed up. We all fall short. We all got problems. So quit worrying about mine. Worry about yours. Mind your own business. And you won't be minding mine.
Amen. That's right.
That'll give something to complain about. Then I can get up and preach. You ungodly! That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible said. These are murmurers, complainers, walking. You know why them two things happen? Listen to what it's predicated upon. Why does people murmur? Why does people complain? Read the Bible. They're walking after their own lust. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about me. When you're so worried about everybody else, you're really worried about you. And how you can stack up to them. Mm-hmm. Won't you invest in a big old mirror and clean that joker off and look at it? And save yourself some time and trouble. Well, we're having fireworks before this evening, right in the preaching. Pow! Poo! Pow! Let's see. Ungodly among all the things ungodly do. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, here, listen, at least let me get the scripture in. Just two more verses. Can y'all handle it? I ain't going to stop and preach no more. I'm just going to read it. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. There's that word again. Ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. When we are ungodly, we mirror the world. Not the church, not God, not the Lord, Not how we're supposed to be, but when we are separating ourselves. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But this is talking about separating not from the world, but to the world. From the church, from Christ. And when we're unholy, we are separating ourselves from Him to them. And we'll never change them and being like them. That's why God said, be godly. Be sober. Be right in an ungodly world, because that's what it takes if we're going to have any effect at all. These by they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So, we got the scripture read. I'm done. I know you in the car is probably wore out from sitting there, and those in here are wore out from sitting in here. Listen, we will come back to this because I have not even started. Amen. Living godly in an ungodly world. I'll say this in closing. This was just a few little thoughts in introduction. But as Christians, especially those of us who are going to try to live godly, who are going to try to accomplish what God said is our reasonable service, we are running uphill. We are running against the wind. The wind is not at our back. If you are going to live godly in this ungodly world, it ain't easy. God didn't say it would be easy. You shouldn't expect it to be easy. I'm telling you, you are swimming upstream if you're going to live godly in this ungodly world. God still said, do it. It's reasonable. It ain't above and beyond. That's reasonable. Amen. Maybe this evening, I don't know, maybe this evening, we're going to get into this message, either this evening or as soon as we can. But please don't be blind like we can't see. All that's going on in this world, and I'm done right now, I'm done. Listen, all that's going on in this world, we can throw up our hands and question and say, I never dreamed. We could have never known. God help us not to be so blind. Amen. To not know. God has given us all this information, all this truth, things you've heard over and over and over and over. Things like, in the last day, perilous times. I've preached that several times since I've been here. In the last days, perilous, dangerous times will come. Don't be so blind and wonder what's going on in our world when God done told us. God done told us. We've just lived long enough to see it and live it. And I'm pleading with you, if you're waiting on it to get easier to live for God, you'll never see that day. Because I promise you, and I can prove it by the Word of God, our easiest days are behind us. We have been at ease in Zion so long. Most of us, our whole life, in America, God has been so good to us. We don't know what hard is. But honey, we're headed for it. And soon. The current is picking up, the river's moving, and we're headed for hard times. And if there's ever been a time that we should live godly in an ungodly world, it's right now. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. I sure do thank you, Lord, for helping me, Lord, this morning. I sure am thankful, Lord. God, it hurt. I'm not going to lie to you, Lord. It hurt me. It hurt my heart, hurt my pride. Lord, I had to be honest with you, even while preaching to myself, Lord, as I was preaching, as you was preaching to me and through me, God, how I need to be in this altar, Lord, during this invitation, how I need to bow my unworthy head. Lord, how I've mourned and moaned and groaned and complained and murmured. Lord, how ungodly I've been. Lord, please forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord, over my mouth, Lord, over my mind. God, for taking things for granted, God, the goodness of God, how good you've been to us, Lord, and yet I still murmur, complain. God, I pray you'd forgive me, Lord. I recognize that from your word as being ungodly. Lord, it's exactly what you said it is. Lord, it's not just a small thing, but Lord, it's ungodly. God, if I'm going to live godly in this present world, I got to deal with it, Lord. I got to deal with it. These have to deal with it, Lord. If our church is going to have any influence, any impact in this world, if we as Christians are going to have any impact, have any power, God, we will have to deal with this, Lord. And we've murmured and complained, oh God, over such pettiness, over such small things. Yes, Lord, big to me, big to the others, as we said them and murmured and complained about them. But God, in the great scheme of things, compared to you on Calvary, compared to all you gave up for us, Lord, help us, God, to see how small our complaints and murmuring are, Lord. But God, how much it can separate us from the love of Christ, how much it can separate us from the presence of Christ, how much it can stop our prayers from being answered. Because, Lord, it is exactly, Lord, not shaded, not colored well, but, Lord, it's ugly, it's dirty, it's vile, it's rotten as any other sin. It's ungodly. It's ungodly. Lord, I call it for what it is. It's ungodly. God, we're eat up with it. Lord, our churches eat up with it. Our homes are eat up with it, Lord. Help us as, Lord, help me as a husband, God, to call it out, Lord. In my own self first, God. God, I've been ungodly. I've murmured and complained. God, as a father, as a daddy, Lord, I've murmured and complained. I've been ungodly. I pray, oh God, you'd forgive me, Lord. Help me be a better husband, a better father. God, as a pastor, as a preacher, God, as a Christian, I have been ungodly. Lord, I've complained and murmured and groaned and griped. And I pray, oh God, I call it for what it is. It's sinful. Lord, it's ungodly. And I pray you'd forgive me in Jesus' name. Lord, please forgive me. God, I pray others would do business with you this morning. May we not leave having not done business and dealt with truth. Made it so clear to me, God, I hope you, the Holy Ghost of God, will take this scattered message, make it clear to your people, Lord. I've tried my best to obey you, Lord, this morning. God, we need revival, Lord. This world needs answers, God. They need to see some real light in this dark, ungodly world. May we, the children of God, the children of light, the sons of God, the people of God, who name the name of Christ, deal with our ungodliness and live godly. Lord God, help us to do whatever it takes. Get right with a brother or a sister. Forgive those, God, that have talked about us. Forgive those. Move on past those, God, places and those moments, Lord, that we've been held up on, God, that's hindered your movement. God, our church needs revival. God, we got people that need saving. And we've let such pettiness and smallness hinder the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. I plead with you in Jesus' name. Our community needs you. Our country needs you. Our world needs you. The cause of Christ needs real Christians to deal with ungodliness. And I pray, Lord, these simple, simple things, but Lord, so strong in our lives, God, that we'd deal with it. Make a real effort, God, to change. God, convict us. Cover us by the blood. Change us for the glory of God. I'll give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for moving in our midst this morning. Good to see people in the altars. Good to see people doing business with you, Lord. Good to see relationships being mended, Lord. Good to see brothers praying with one another. God, good to see families praying. I pray, God, you'd mend the brokenness, Lord. Send revival. Wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice. I love you, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. As these are praying, you do business with the Lord.
I may not have riches as some others may, but my parents pass on.